The Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. From the time the world looked on in horror at the events of October 7th, everyone missed what over 40,000 people were doing. So we'll bring it to your attention. Did we or didn't we? That is the question that needs a straight answer when it comes to Iran's nuclear program. Researchers in the UK are working to block the sun to cool the earth. Is that a cool idea? Well, as far as we can tell, the only thing that's heating up are the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 27th, 2025. Hey, you can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend. I'm sure you've got one of those. You can read the articles we talk about, which we always encourage you to do. Or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, which three people did this week, when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to remind us that one day you'll find someone that's obsessed with you, but it's probably going to be a dog, is Pastor Mark, who went for a run, but came back only after 2 minutes because he forgot something. He forgot he's out of shape and can't run for more than 2 minutes.
So. That's pretty close.
That's why if you go for a run, it's on the bike.
You know the bummer is? It's funny because actually I do like to exercise regularly, but I can't run or do those kind of things because of issues now. You know, you get older and you have knee issues and everything. So I can't do a lot of the cardio stuff, but I still lift weights. And of course, I'm seeing, you can tell that I'm sure.
No, I remember there. I remember for a while, years ago, you were, you liked to do bike riding.
Oh, I did.
You were really after it.
Oh, yeah. And again, I would still be doing something cardio. You know, I'm pretty aggressive. My personality is when I do it, I go full throttle.
Yes.
So it's very hard for me to be held back on that, but I'm able to at least still do the weights and hit that really hard. And so I can do something.
Now you can do something. You just have a governor now.
Yes, that's right.
You're limited to 60 miles an
hour. That's right.
All right. Before we get into our articles, you want to make a correction or clarification from last week's program, and then some things you want to discuss.
Yes, absolutely. I want to have a little discussion time here. Somebody pointed something out to me I was mentioning last week about Iran. They told me, I don't remember saying this, but they said that I said Iran had been an enemy of Israel since 1948 when they became a nation. If I said that, and I'm not doubting that I did, let me just say I probably did. I don't always remember what I say, which is not good. But either way, no, that's not the case. I misspoke on that. What I meant to say was radical Islam has been an enemy of Israel since 1948. Iran actually was a friend of Israel until about 1979 when the Shah fell. And then since then, you had the Ayatollahs and you had the radicals take over. And so Iran has been aggressive against Israel since 1979. But the radical Muslims have hated Israel since 1948 and really before. So I want to make that correction there of something I misspoke there. And also, I want to make a further this is not something that I said incorrectly, but I want to further emphasize it because I had a question about, you know, hey, it might not have been clear what genealogical line I was talking about when I said the line of Abraham. Remember, Abraham had multiple genealogical lines. He had Ishmael. He got married after Sarah died and had a line through there. Saudi Arabia's line came from his second wife. And so there's a lot of different lines. You have Jacob and Esau, and of course they came, you know, through the line of Isaac. So no, the Bible's very clear, and I want to make this clear on the biblical genealogical DNA line that was promised, got the promise to Abraham. It's not just spiritual; it was also genealogical, which they can do their DNA today, and God will sort out the genealogical from the spiritual in the last days. That's up to Him as He brings them back in the land. He'll sort out who the true believers are that get saved and true Israel in that sense. But the true Jews, because that was the question, they are simply anyone that is a genealogical descendant of Abraham through Isaac's line. And let me give you the verse for that. This, again, I know I shared this with our fellowship on Sunday, but I don't know if I shared it with everyone last week on the radio, but let me do it right now. Psalm 105, and there's multiple places, but I want to share this one. It says, He is the Lord our God. This is 105, starting in verse 7 in Psalms. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever. So notice this is it's a forever covenant. We know that it's everlasting from Genesis 15, but now He's talking about that covenant. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham. Now notice He's going to go down the line of which genealogical line of the true Jews are, that is the genealogical Jews today, with Abraham, and His oath to Isaac. So there it drops down to Isaac, not Esau. And then it's confirmed, it says in verse 10, to Jacob. So it goes on down to Jacob. Jacob and Esau, that's where Esau would come in. And then this from Jacob, again, to the 12 tribes of Israel as an everlasting covenant. So understand that the covenant, that the point I was making last week is, again, I want to reiterate it. There are the biblical line, God made the promise to the genealogical line of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, to the 12 tribes, the Bible says. That is who the true Jews are, because there's this big argument today about who are the true Jews. The true Jews are anyone that can prove by DNA testing that they are a true descendant of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, there's also a spiritual Israel in the last days. Once God regathers the genealogical Israel, which He's promised to do, and that was the promise He gave to Abraham in Genesis 12 and confirmed it as an everlasting covenant in Genesis 15, then it goes, once He brings all the genealogical promises back to the land in the last days, then the Lord will sort out who true Israel is spiritually among those Jews. And then those that get saved would be those that are going to be the true Israel in heaven. So understand this. My point in all that was, there are people today trying to say that somehow the Jews today, even if they can prove a genealogical line back to Abraham, are not true Jews. Nonsense. That's who the promise was to. The genealogical, 23andMe could prove who the true Jews are. So, you know, when you go, who are the real Jews? Well, just get a blood test and you'll know. Because the argument comes in, well, they're not true Jews because of this and because of that. And they rejected Jesus and they did that. And they're not even, I've heard people, Greg, even say, Netanyahu's not even a real Jew. Look. It's not based on people's opinions. It's not based on emotions. It's not even based on your personal theology. It's based on the Bible. And God says, Abraham, to you and your descendants. Now, how do we know He's talking about earthly, fleshly, non-spiritual at that point? He's talking about both, spiritual and fleshly. But how do we know He's including both? Because the Bible tells us that God will blind their eyes in the last days, will bring the descendants of Abraham back to Israel, Ezekiel 37, as well as many other places, and then He will open their eyes and pour His Spirit out. So that shows us He's talking about, yes, even the unsaved genealogical line of Abraham are the true Jews. They'll be brought back to Israel, and then God will bring, He'll separate them, like the sheep and the goats, from the spiritual Jews when He pours out His Spirit in the last days. So, understand, I hope that clarifies Abraham's line and where they're coming from. But I also want to point this out. For those who say that the Jews are done and they have this replacement theology where that means the church has now taken the place of the Jews because they say the Jews rejected Jesus and so now we're the true Israel. Well, that would mean that the Christians, the church, we have to all move over to Israel. And we, it becomes our country. Because he said, I'm going to be literally bringing literal Jews back to the land in the last days and put them in the land. And how do we know they're there? I want to read something to you here. This is out of Zechariah chapter 12 in reference to the second coming. So notice this. At the second coming, it says the Jews will be there in Jerusalem, showing that God is going to bring them back. Listen to what he says. And I will pour out on the house of David. This is Zechariah 12, verse 10. And this is, again, prophetic of the second coming. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That is those living in Jerusalem, physically there. I'll pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. This is when the second coming takes place. And they will look on me whom they have pierced. So they'll see Jesus coming back at the second coming. They'll see that he was crucified. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. Again, when Josiah was put to death there. And the land shall mourn every family by itself. Notice this, the family of the house of David by itself, their wives by themselves. The family of the house of Nathan by itself, their wives by themselves. The family of the house of Levi, the priests and themselves, their wives and themselves. The family of Shammai by itself and the wives by themselves. All the families that remain of the Jews, that is, of every family and themselves, their wives by themselves. So here's the bottom line. We see that the Jews are going to be back in Jerusalem at the second coming. And you say, well, who are the Jews? They are the descendants of Abraham, the genetic descendants. Some of them will be saved. Some of them will not. It is not the church. If the church truly replaced Israel, it would say, and the church was in Jerusalem. And Mark and Greg were there. And they saw the Lord come back. No, he's talking about Jews in Jerusalem. He names the tribes they're from, showing that the tribes are there. And if you say, well, the Jews are there, but it's not the real Jews we see today. Well, then who are the real Jews? I mean, look at Israel today. There's a nation called Israel, and there are people that are saying they're Jews, and they can prove it genetically, that they link back to Jacob and on back. So who else can do that? It's not those that call themselves the Palestinians. It's not the Arab peoples. Nobody else. So if you're saying, well, these aren't the real Jews that are back in the land, then you tell me who your candidate is. Because the Lord says he's bringing somebody back that he calls the Jews and their descendants of Abraham through Jacob. And if it's not them, you don't have any other choice. So I'm saying when you start really breaking down the arguments about these not being the real Jews, Greg, it is absurd. There are no other candidates. Of course, they're the real Jews. Now, are they unbelievers and are they against God? Yes. But God didn't base his covenant on whether or not they were believers or against God. He based it on his promise to Abraham and Abraham's physical genetic descendants that he would bring back in the last days.
If God would have made the covenant with Abraham conditional, meaning he wouldn't have put Abraham to sleep and walked between the split bull on his
the
own,
animals,
the animal, then the covenant would have been probably erased a long time ago.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, listen, the covenant was broken so many times.
Exactly.
And really, you know, if God's not going to keep his promises to the nation of Israel, then what assurance do we have as Christians that he's going to keep his promises for us?
Right.
So, again, I just want to make it clear again, you know, the genetic line, there's this real attack going on where people are trying to say they're not real Jews. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We have a question that will address the synagogue of Satan in a moment.
Yeah.
And that ties right into this, what I'm talking about now. So remember what I said now. I'll remind you when we get to the questions, because we're going to talk about who that is and what's going on. But I wanted to talk about that at first for a moment. Now, before we jump right in, I know everyone knows about what happened with America and Iran, but we have to mention it. We haven't even talked about it on our broadcast because it happened after our broadcast. America attacked Iran on Saturday. We had our broadcast last Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It feels like it's been a year.
It feels like we should have already talked about it.
We talked about it. We talked about possible scenarios. We have not talked about it. That's unbelievable to me, but I guess I've talked about it so much to everyone else and to our body. But let me just say this, without rehashing everything, we know what an amazing operation took place, one of the most amazing military feats in world history that took place in the precision and the technology that we have today. A war that ended 2 days after the America bombed, when Iran was set on just going to the very bitter end, they said. And suddenly they have this big peace, and now it's all stopped, and everything's put brakes on. Well, let me say this. it actually lines up better prophetically this way than if it had kept going and this regime had been replaced. Remember, the Bible says Iran will eventually march on the nation of Israel. Now, if you take out all their rockets and their air force and everything else they can do that with, they only have one option, a land invasion. And so that was interesting to me to see they're kind of down to a land invasion if they really want to do anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if they turn it over to a new regime that's democratic or likes Israel, like the Shah, bringing the Shah's son back or other people like that.
Which is the crown prince or whatever.
Well, then they're going to be their buddies. Why would they go to war and march on them?
Yeah.
So I remember going, I was kind of scratching my head saying, I want to see, I'm curious to see how this winds up, because if the good guys get in, so to speak, they're going to have to fall again, or they're not really going to remove the bad guys. Well, guess what? In 2 days, we found out they didn't remove the bad guys. Now, it's not done yet. I guess there could still be an uprising within the nation, but it hadn't started yet. And really, if the Ayatollah and those that are in power remain, it fits the scenario of Ezekiel 38 and 39 much better, because it's got to be somebody that hates Israel and wants to march on Israel. So, again, we really see a lineup here very much better prophetically by how this has all happened. Now we see the president getting other nations involved in peace treaties. We see the American stock market beginning to explode because of today's deal with China and all these other things that are happening, and the Middle Eastern countries putting billions of dollars of investment in America. Greg, I think you're about to see the world explode in a good way economically, and America leading the way. And I think that's going to lead right into the Antichrist, because the Bible says when the Antichrist comes, he'll not only be a man of peace, which you see President Trump bringing all this peace in the Middle East, but also a man of great economy and a man of great military. Now, we see all these happening. Let me be clear. President Trump, I do not believe he's the Antichrist. I don't think he fits the scenario biblically. But I believe he's setting the stage when he's out in 3 years for this guy to come on the scene at any time. And if the president, you know, died before that, if something happened, as much as they've tried to kill him, but if something happened before that, he could come on the scene before that. But the bottom line is, it's interesting to look at the scenario the Bible says will be in place when the Antichrist takes over. There'll be a one-world economy that'll be booming. There's going to be a military that's going to be so powerful that he leads that everybody's going to say, you can't go against him. He's too powerful. And there's going to be, again, people saying the whole world's finally coming to peace. The president is touting all of those. Not that they're bad in and of themselves, but Greg, he just got back from NATO saying now is the time for the world to have peace. Now is the time for, again, the economy to explode in the golden age of America. Now is the time for, again, all the borders to come down in the middle. I mean, it's all happening.
And Babylon the Great, we can bring up that conversation again when we start looking at...
And for those who say Babylon's not going to be revived, what about Babylon B?
We love the Babylon Bee.
I know, but there they are. Babylon is now back on the scene. The Babylon Bee is back on the scene. And so who knows? You know, here's the thing. I never realized that Nebuchadnezzar was so funny. You know, this now the revived Babylon Bee is either that or it's just much funnier than the original. But it really was amazing. But either way, you know, so this is an amazing thing happening here. All the pieces are falling into place. Now, do we know the timeline? No. We're not going to give you a timeline. Nobody knows it. And we have to be careful with every little event that happens. We can't say when every little event that happens, this is it, the Lord's coming tomorrow. No, we don't know. So remember, prophecy students, stay level-headed. Here's how this works. If you jump at everything believing it's going to end and it doesn't end, you can start going to sleep. Because you start saying things like, they said that last time. They said that last time. Okay, be careful now. Because you don't want to go to sleep, because one of these times, it's going to be the real deal. So what we do is we're always watching and always ready, always. But we're planning as though this could go on for who knows how long. So we keep on serving, sharing, moving forward, watching it, being aware. We know for a fact what is going to happen. Iran and Russia are going to march on Israel. We know that. But we don't know when or how. So we just keep our eye on all this stuff and watch it very closely. But again, when I really sit back, Greg, and think about the world, the way the Bible says the world's going to be for the Antichrist, everything is falling into place amazingly, beautifully. And I would say this, I said before the broadcast, I want to reiterate this. I don't believe President Trump is the Antichrist because, number one, it says the whole world is going to love him. And the whole world does not love President Trump, number one. Number two, he doesn't come out of Europe. He's not in Europe, stationed in Europe. You can't line the genealogy. So, genealogically, he goes back. No, I think it's referring to somebody out of Europe. It's going to be the revived Roman Empire rising up out of Europe.
And both the Jews and the Arabs are going to accept him as their Messiah.
Yes, I mean, and they're just, not going to accept Trump as their Messiah. So he doesn't fit the scenario.
Now, but, the Jews might a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't fit the scenario, but let me say this. If I did not know anything about him and I just like was in a deep sleep.
You were just dropped off from another planet.
I got dropped off and I know what I know about the Antichrist. And you told me what was going on in the world right now. I would say, well, whoever this current leader is, he's the Antichrist. Because he's making everything fall in place that the Bible says the Antichrist will do. So what it tells me is this, because I know he can't fit the scenario of the Antichrist, here's what it tells me is happening. He is getting things ready. Now, does he know he's doing that? No. Is he doing wrong by trying to have world peace? No. Is he doing wrong by stopping Iran? No. Is he doing wrong by making the economy do good? No. These are all good things, so don't get me wrong. Matter of fact, these are the things that are going to make people love the Antichrist because these are good things he'll do. But I think, Greg, that what's happening is God is allowing the leadership of this incredibly gifted man, whether you like him or not. He's extremely gifted as a leader. He's very persuasive. He gets things done. God is allowing this, I believe, to get everything ready so that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, again, President Trump, even if they don't assassinate him, he's only got three more years. When he steps off the scene, I mean, the world's going to be ready. That doesn't mean the next guy's going to be the Antichrist, but it's going to be, again, here's the dilemma. Something's going to happen that's going to transfer America's power over to Europe. Because the Antichrist is going to be out of Europe. Europe doesn't have a powerful military. We're the only ones that have a worldwide dominant military. We're the only ones that have now an economy that's going to be worldwide dominant. Everything that lines up, we're the only ones that can broker a deal and care enough about Israel to broker a deal because everybody hates them. So somehow, and again, the Bible says there'll be the 10-nation conglomerate and they're going to turn their power over. This, by the way, another thing about the Antichrist, he's going to come up from nowhere. He'll be a small nobody, come up and just take over. So it doesn't fit President Trump. But let me say this. I believe whoever is in power after President Trump, whatever happens and whatever the timing is, this person, I think, is going to be a part of that 10-nation conglomerate, if we're not destroyed, that turns it over to the Antichrist. It's almost like we're going to say, all right, you can now have the power of the American military at your disposal. You can now have the world's economy based out of here at your disposal. All these things are at your hands. Now, make this work because we need a leader. President Trump is gone. We don't have anybody to run the world. You're this guy. We love you, whatever. And I just, something's going to happen in this form or fashion that's going to shift everything over. But it's just amazing to watch. And I tell you what, we getting to live in America as the stage is getting set for the Antichrist, you know, we're getting the benefits right before the rapture of the church of things going pretty well. And then when we're taken out of here, boy, is it going to go dark fast. And so, again, there's my update. I wanted to cover those things and kind of share some things that are going on before we jumped into the articles today and the questions. But, man, exciting days to be alive. Yes. Israel.
All right. We've got a few articles Israel this week. This first one comes to us from All Israel News, dated June 9th. The Jewish agency is reporting probably over 43,000 new immigrants have moved to Israel since the October 7th Hamas terror attack.
Yes, this is so amazing. And a couple of things I want to say. First of all, in relation to this, you know, we're getting ready to go to Israel here in September, and everybody's like, are we going to be able to do it? It's so bad. And all the, you know, wars and all. Listen, this may be the safest, most pleasant trip we've ever taken. The way this is panning out, it may be the smoothest, most unchallenging time we've ever been. And why do I say that? Well, again, because Hezbollah has been neutralized. Syria is in this deal with the president, so they don't want to do anything wrong or go the wrong direction. And at the same time, now Iran is neutralized, which is a big threat. Hamas, I think, is going to be neutralized as a threat here before very long. And so, Greg, it's just amazing to see all this stuff taking place and to watch it taking place. You know, so again, I think we're going to just a wonderful trip. I'm excited about our trip, and it's going to be a great trip there to Israel. So anyway, yes, getting back to this.
Again, it's your big, beautiful trip.
It's the big, beautiful trip. And we talked again about the fact that God's going to bring them back in the last days. And so the fact that they've been coming back by the hundreds of thousands over the last, since 1948. And now we see again, you know, I remember telling our fellowship, and probably you guys on the broadcast, you're going to see this attack against Jews worldwide. It's going to be used by God. I'm not saying God's doing it. I'm saying it's going to be used by God, and I believe, Greg, is being used by God to drive the Jews back to their land, as God says he indeed will do with them in the last days. Listen to what it says even before we read this article. Out of Isaiah, I was reading this morning, so it's very appropriate. Isaiah 43:5 says, "Fear not, I am with you, Israel. I will bring your descendants," he's talking to Israel rather, "I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I've created for my glory." And again, he's talking about regathering the children of Israel in the last days. So you talk about this report here that 43,000 new immigrants are moving back to Israel. The pressure, listen to what it says. Over 43,000 Olim from around the world since the war began are learning, working, and serving, and most importantly, helping rebuild Israeli society. Every story is a beacon of hope. And it says, every family strengthens our national reliance, said the Jewish agency, that will continue to guide, support, and connect, and support and connect, so we can rebuild the face of a renewed Israel together, said the Jewish agency director, Yehuda Stone, in a statement. Arriving from various countries and representing all ages, approximately one-third of the new Olim, the new immigrants, starting a new life in Israel are between 18 and 35. There's a brand new young generation moving back to Israel. God said, I'm going to gather them in the last days. We see that God is gathering them in the last days. And again, it's amazing to think, Greg, that, you know, I remember years ago when I was in Santa Fe, I took some Hebrew from a lady that taught Hebrew at Hebrew University. She had moved to America and was living there in Santa Fe. Vardit was her name, very sweet lady. Not a believer, but a sweet lady, and we had a chance to share with her. But anyway, she left with her family because she was afraid of the dangers there. Well, now, the safest place in the world for the Jew is Israel. Even in America now, it's not safe. They're being attacked and turned on in America, which used to be their hiding place. So what's amazing is God is now allowing all this pressure and heat to build up around them to drive them back to their land. And they're going to move back because they're going to want to go somewhere that it's safe. And the new generation is going, we want to go back to Israel. I mean, it's amazing. You think, oh, they don't want their opportunities in America. No, we want to go back. God is drawing them. It is a supernatural. And it's going to continue to grow and go. He's going to regather his people, and he's going to, again, pour his spirit out on them, as it says in Revelation. And then they're going to be there watching the Lord come back at the second coming. And so it's just, again, those who doubt the word of God, and even who the true Jews are today, you don't know the Bible, and you're not looking at reality. It's happening before your very eyes. Wake up!
Our next article, Pastor Mark, comes from Breitbart.com, dated June 25th. This, according to the IDF, the Israeli commandos struck deep in Iran as their nuclear program was crippled.
Yeah, these guys were, as we said, on the ground months before this happened, even putting together...
Which is just amazing.
Yeah, and even putting together their their drones on the ground. Yeah. And Greg, they said they're staying there now. They're still there, they said, and they're going to remain there now. They're not going to leave the nation. And Iran didn't know where they are. Now, okay. The good is they're there to see what's happening. The bad is right now, Iran is rounding up people from the church and Jews and other people. Your spies, and they're probably gonna kill them. But let me read some of this. Israel's top military, at least I know they're rounding up the Jewish people right now. I'm not sure about the church. But Israel's top military official disclosed that elite Israeli commandos operated covertly inside Iran during Operation Rising Lion. As part of what intelligence and nuclear experts now assess was a campaign that inflicted systemic, not just tactical, destruction on the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir said in a televised address Wednesday, after 12 days of unprecedented fighting, I can say that the IDF operated at its best and fully achieved the aims and objectives of the operation. He emphasized that the mission had one clear goal from the start: to remove the existential threat to the state of Israel. Zamir outlined the nature of the threat, calling it a plan to exterminate the state of Israel, which he said rested on three pillars: a nuclear program nearing weapons breakout, a long-range missile arsenal designed to inflict mass civilian casualties. Here's what Iran was doing. Listen to this last one. And a multi-theater ground invasion. That is, they were planning on coming in. That was one of the things they're trying to do, is coming in the ground. Multi-theater. So again, this could be a lot more people involved. These were not merely theoretical plans, he stated. The threat became real, and that's why they moved against Israel, yeah. or against Iran. So, again, as you said, really, Israel didn't need America, but God used America, and Israel's still there. And God is, remember, the restrainer is restraining until he's removed out of the way. He's not going to let the world be destroyed. He's not going to let anything happen to Israel until the time is right. He's going to protect everything so we can relax and rest. This just proves that God is in control, and we can rest in the Lord.
Well, speaking of God using the U.S., or didn't need the U.S., well, they needed us when it came to the bunker buster bombs.
Yes.
This is from Fox News dated June 25th, that not only Iran and Israel and the U.S., all three are agreeing that Iran's nuclear sites were, quote-unquote, badly damaged. So let's add some clarity to this, because there's been a lot of back and forth over this last week. You know, did we damage it? Did we not damage them?
Yeah, let me even talk about that intelligence brief before we get into the article.
Okay.
The way intelligence briefs go, my understanding, what they've been saying in the sources that I'm reading and looking at, is that whenever something like this happens, they do their best to give the minimum assessment and the maximum assessment. What happened? We don't know for sure right now. And what they said was in the report was, it could be anything from minimal damage to total destruction. So that, but we don't know yet. We have to go find out more. Well, as soon as some Democrat operative inside the secret meeting heard that, they didn't hear the words maximum damage. All they heard was is minimal damage was possible. So they run to CNN and they say, well, I just heard the official intelligence report and it says that only minimal damage is probably what happened. So CNN loves it because they hate Trump. And so they run to, and it appears they hate America. And so they run to their newscast, they sit down and say, well, we have some secret intelligence reports that just got leaked that they say that it was only minimal damage. That's not what the report said at all. The report said it's anywhere from minimal damage to total annihilation. But they didn't list the total annihilation. You say, well, why weren't they more specific? Because in the initial assessment from the intelligence, you can't be more specific. You've got to give an assessment. But you want to keep it balanced to make sure that you're not wrong. So we'll tell you what we can, and we'll have to wait and see until we get more. So again, political, they jump on that and try to make it look like, you know, that it's nothing. So that's what's going on there. But again, this article says that President Trump's historic precision strikes on Iran's nuclear site Saturday hit their targets and destroyed and badly damaged the facilities and their critical infrastructure. An assessment agreed upon by Iran's foreign minister, Israel, and the United States. Our nuclear installations have been badly damaged, that's for sure, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Ismail Baghaei told Al Jazeera. Israel's Defense Forces Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir, said its assessment is that Iran's nuclear program has been significantly damaged, while Israel's Atomic Energy Commission described the U.S. strikes as devastating. And I quote, the devastating U.S. strike on Fordo destroyed the site's critical infrastructure and rendered the enrichment facility inoperable. Israel's Atomic Energy Commission made the statement. We assess, they say, that the American strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities, combined with Israel's strikes on other elements of Iran's military nuclear program, has set back Iran's ability to develop nuclear weapons by many years. So I think what we're going to find, we don't know for sure until the estimates come out, but I think you're going to find that they definitely have been set back. And either way, God is intervening to stop the nation of Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Because if they do, I believe they'll try to use it against Israel or America. And God's not going to let that happen, at least not yet for America. And I know that there's going to be, we know a nuclear weapon won't be used on Israel, but we don't know about America or anyone else. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Russia has now entered the chat regarding that, Pastor Mark. This is from Yahoo.com, dated June 22nd. According to Russia, other nations are ready to supply Iran with nukes after the U.S. strike.
List this little temper tantrum. It's a temper tantrum. You took away their toys, well, we're going to give them more toys. We're going to do it. And this is like directly, these are people that are mad at President Trump because he was so effective. And they're going to say, you know what, then we'll just give them weapons. They don't have to build them. We'll hand them to them. In the wake of President Trump's strike on Iran's nuclear site Saturday, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said Sunday that a number of countries are ready to directly supply Iran with their own nuclear weapons. Medvedev said Iran's political leadership has survived despite Israel's apparent pursuit of a regime change and may come out even stronger. again, with linking up with Russia, they may. Mm-hmm. Again, moving against Israel, as the Bible says. Like Russia, Iran ally Pakistan is armed with nuclear weapons, but said Thursday it had not yet received requests for any military assistance from Iran while expressing alignment with its neighbor. It has since condemned the U.S. attack on Iran and said the unprecedented escalation of tension and violence owing to ongoing aggression against Iran is deeply disturbing, said Sanballat and Tobiah about Nehemiah. Not really. I'm speaking about the book of Nehemiah.
This letter just in.
And it just repeats itself over and over and over. That's out of Nehemiah, yeah. all the enemies of Israel. Anyway, said against Iran is deeply disturbing. It's the same spirit.
Yes.
Any further escalation of tensions will have severely damaging implications for the region and beyond, Pakistan's foreign ministry said in a statement on Sunday. The Russian foreign ministry also released a statement. Remember, Russia and Iran are going to link up here, condemning the strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, calling them a violation of international law and the United Nations Charter. It called the attack a substantial blow to the global non-proliferation regime built around the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. So you know what? You take away their nuclear sites, we'll just hand them nuclear weapons. You know, you take away their pistol, we'll hand them an AR, you know, this kind of thing. So again, this is why I'm so glad God's in control.
Yes.
The Lord is running the show. If he wasn't, we'd all be dead by now. But now you know why. It says in the last days that if the Lord didn't intervene, no flesh would be saved because we would destroy ourselves. So praise the Lord for our great God and King, Jesus Christ.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy and the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that this week will become podcast episode number 369, which will set any nuclear program back by several years.
Yes.
And now,
you've got mail.
Three questions this week. Our first one, Pastor Mark, comes from Angie, who enjoys Signs of the Times north of us in Corrington, Tennessee. She says, because of recent events, I found myself watching the emergency meeting of the United Nations on June 22nd. I'm curious of your opinion on the purpose of the United Nations, or as our tour guide once said years ago, the useless nations.
Right.
And if you think this council has a place in prophecy. I'm amazed at the stance of each country on the Israel-Iran conflict. Russia condemned the actions of the U.S., while others are staying neutral, but urge all parties to exercise restraint.
Yes.
So,
well, Angie, let me just say, I think that everyone is confused about the purpose of the UN, so you're not alone on that one. They really are. They call them the un. I mean, they're nothing. I mean, it's like the un-cola. They're the un. You know, it's like, but let me answer your question the best I know. We don't know for sure. Here's what we know. There will be in the last days a 10-nation or 10-kingdom conglomerate. Will that be the UN, or will it be something else developed, as we see even President Trump now bringing other nations together? We don't know. The UN, no doubt, will be some part. They're either going to be completely dissolved, or they're going to absorb into it, or they're going to be the conglomeration of nations that comes down to 10 at some point. So, yes, they could be very much involved. And if that happens, they will be effective. Right now, they're very ineffective. But if the Antichrist becomes the leader of them, they'll be very effective. It's almost like when President Trump came into office, things start happening in Washington that never happened before. When you have a strong leader, they make things happen. So the UN could be taken, and it could be formulated into this 10-kingdom, 10-nation, you know, thing from Revelation, or it could be something totally separate. We just don't know. But I guess on the base level of answering your question, yes, they could. But at this point, it seems, you know, you have to wonder how, because they're so useless. They don't seem to have any ability. So
but the creation of the UN, though, was for a good thing at the very beginning.
It was, yes. And, of course, we know it was supposed to be kind of this, you know, governance of the world, holding things together in peace.
But it proclaimed Israel a nation.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. So God has used them. But, again, right now they're pretty much useless. They're like the useless nations. But that could change with the Antichrist coming on the scene. So we really don't know. We'll just have to keep an eye on the UN and find out what part they're going to play or not.
Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Sean, who enjoys Signs of the Times out in Denver, Colorado. This is regarding Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. He says, I understand about supporting Israel and blessing them and want to do so. I do not want to be anti-Semitic and do not believe in replacement theology. But I have a question about who are the fake Jews of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. Those two verses were two different churches throughout the church age. If we take the word literally, then there must be a literal group of people who call themselves Jews, but are not, and have operated over a period of time. Who are they? How do we interpret these verses?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think this
goes back
one,
to what you were talking about at the very beginning of the show, right?
Yes. And again, this comes back. I told you I'd be addressing this again. This is one, Greg, that's being used. There are some very, you know, a couple of large conservative voices that are trying to use verses like this to once again discredit the Jews. And they're saying, well, the Jews today are the synagogue of Satan. And look, God said so himself. They're called the synagogue of Satan. Listen, you're misunderstanding what's happening. Remember, when these churches were talking about this, and when the Lord was talking to these churches, the Jewish communities were against them. The Jewish communities were coming against the church. The church was rising up, and the Jews, even as the Sadducees and the Pharisees fought against Jesus, they were a synagogue of Satan, and yet they were real Jews. You also had the church rising up, and the Jews that hated Jesus and hated Christians, they were rising up against the church as well. And so basically what he's saying is this is nothing more than unsaved Jews. That's all it is. If you have any group of unsaved Jews on a technical level, let me say this in the right way, because when you say synagogue of Satan, you think about people, you know, biting off chicken heads or bat heads and blood everywhere and pentagrams all over the place. No. Look, the Bible says Satan, the entire world is under the sway of Satan. And so any Jewish gathering, or might I say in addition to that, any church gathering that is not of God is a synagogue or church of Satan. Let me give an example. If you have a church that is an unbelieving church and nobody's saved in it, it really is a church of Satan. They may not be worshiping Satan openly. They may not think they're that. But the Bible says they're under the sway of Satan. So they are technically, in God's eyes, a church of Satan. But that doesn't mean they're, again, you know, Anton LaVey, Church of Satan followers, and wearing robes and going and doing, you know, seances. The same thing is true for the Jews. They don't know the Lord. So any synagogue today, technically, you could call really pretty much any synagogue today technically a synagogue of Satan in that they don't know God and they're under the sway of the demonic realm. They're under the sway of Satan. But it doesn't mean they're evil, like out hurting people and doing demonic things. No, they may be very nice people doing great things for their community and all that. So understand, God is looking now spiritually. We talked about the genetic line of Israel and the spiritual line of Israel. Both of them come from descendancy of Abraham, but the spiritual line, the only difference is they're the ones that get saved. So a synagogue of Satan as compared to a synagogue of Christ would be, a synagogue of Satan would be the unsaved Jews, whereas the synagogue of Christ would be the saved Jews. It doesn't mean that the Jews today are all evil and they're demonic and therefore we write them off. Not at all. What it means is, here's the bottom line. They don't yet know Jesus. That's all it means. They don't yet know Jesus. Those today who don't know the Lord and are being led by the spirit of the enemy, Jew and or Gentile, synagogue and or church that's unsaved, and there's a lot of them out there in the church realm as well, they're being led by the enemy. And until their eyes are open and they turn to God, they are a church of Satan or a synagogue of Satan, but not like the actual church of Satan led by Anton LaVey. So understand, all God is saying is you've got a bunch of Jews in your town who are just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees that hated Jesus. They hated Jesus and Satan was leading their life. Well, now you've got those in your own towns and they hate Jesus and Satan's leading their life as well. They're acting like they're true believers in God. They have their gatherings. They read the scriptures. They sing their songs, but really they're a synagogue of Satan. They don't even know God is his point. So don't be stumbled by this thinking that it's some type of statement where God is saying that all Jews now are synagogues of Satan and they're all lost and, well, they are, they don't know the Lord, but that somehow God's through with the nation of Israel or through with the Jews because of that. All he's talking about is unbelieving Jews, and God just says it like it is. If you don't know the Lord, you're under the sway of Satan. And so, you know, again, you could take this down to even a household. You have a house where nobody knows the Lord. I mean, technically, that's a household of Satan. It is. Even though they may not be mean, they may be wonderfully sweet, nice people that are mowing their neighbor's lawns and making pies for them. But if they don't know the Lord, they're a household of Satan. So understand, he's talking about, in a spiritual sense, who's led by God and who's led by the enemy.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question from Kim in Minnesota. Kim, this is a shout out to you. We asked for a clarification because the verse that you referenced in your question do not line up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So really hard for us to answer your question.
We don't know what
because
verse.
Because the verse doesn't fit with your question.
But we can still answer.
Yeah. You still want to answer this?
Oh, yeah, I can answer it. Go ahead. Just leave the verse out. Just leave the verse out and read just the question without the verse.
Okay.
Because what they were taught. They were taught that Jesus would return in the flesh to purify sinful nature again?
Yeah, so go ahead and answer.
Here's what the question is. In a Bible study, again, Kim, you share with us that somebody taught that Jesus is going to return again in the flesh to purify our sinful nature, and that accepting judgment is necessary by all of us to enter the kingdom. We don't know what verse you're referring to because it's not John 16:12, but either way,
that doesn't line up.
Here's the bottom line. This is false teaching. Whoever told you that? Because here's what the Bible says. The next time Jesus said, you're going to see me, I'll be coming on the clouds with glory, with great glory and power. So the next time we see the Lord, other than the rapture, now when we die, we'll see the Lord. And when the rapture takes place for the believer, I get that. But the world as a whole, the next time we'll see the Lord come back, he said, we'll be in the clouds with glory. So he's not going to come back as a man again, just in the flesh, living life and making people go through judgment. No, that's some other gospel. I don't know where they're getting that. It's either a misunderstanding of prophecy or it's some other cultic teaching that has crept into that Bible study. And I want to be careful because I don't know what the person was saying, and it's hard to judge, you know, without really knowing what's going on. But no, Jesus will not come back again in human form just to give everybody a chance to go under judgment so they can go to heaven. No, now's your time. Right now is the time for you to decide if you're going to go to heaven. And you do that by saying, I believe that first I confess I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I give my life to him. That's how you get into heaven. Not by the Lord coming back again and running you through some type of judgment. By the time he comes back and starts his judgment, it's too late. Because the Bible says when he comes in the second coming, he will come in judgment. But at that point, it's only judgment for the unbeliever. They can't be saved. It's like you had your chance, now you'll be judged. And if you're not saved by then, it's going to be too late as well. So just so you know, this is a false teaching. Whatever reference they were making to, and again, without having the full story, it's hard to know, but don't fear this person or whatever they're saying. Matter of fact, if they're teaching these kind of things, get out of there.
All right. Maybe these questions have stirred your prophetic juices and you've got a question for Pastor Mark. Then you just visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Just click Signs of the Times and you'll see where you can submit your prophecy question that we can answer on our next broadcast.
On the boats and on the planes.
All right. This article under our America category, we've kind of touched on a little bit through some other articles today, but we'll throw it out there in case Pastor Mark has anything new to add to this. This is from the Times of Israel, dated June 25th, according to a U.S. Intel report.
Yes.
American strikes only set Iran's nuclear program back by months.
Yeah, and we really did already address this, Greg. Yeah. So I'll just say again, all this article does is reiterate what we said. You have the whole thing about CNN saying that it wasn't that bad. You have others saying, no, this was really wiped out. And again, time will tell, but the best intelligence right now is coming from on the ground, and that's the Israeli agents that are there, and they're saying that indeed it was wiped out. So we'll wait till we get the full report to know, but yeah.
Okay. All right, as we hit some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, this is really kind of a carryover theme from what happened over last weekend with the strikes at Fordow.
Yeah.
This is from MSN.com. Dated June 20th, Iran hit with a 5.1 magnitude earthquake near the Fordow nuclear sites.
Yeah.
So
now, I left this
coincidence?
In here. Yeah. I left this in here for a couple of reasons. One is I had I just for kind of fun, I threw out there, I wonder if maybe they didn't detonate a nuclear weapon, Iran, underground near Fordow to make a statement. And that's before we bombed them when this happened.
And was this before the bombing?
This was before the bombing.
Oh.
And it makes me wonder, did they conduct a nuclear site? Was my question. I'm not saying they did. I'm not even thinking that they did. I'm just the thought popped in my mind. What if they did, just to say to America, even if you destroy it, we already have them. We want you to know that. And so we're going to test one so you can see we do. And then we'll keep them where we have them and we'll use them whenever we want. Now, I'm not saying that's true or false. I don't know. That was just a thought that popped in my brain. The other thought that popped in my brain is maybe God come almost kind of prophetically saying, okay, your time's up. It's almost like that rumbling right near their plant that's about to be taken out, almost God making a statement to the world and to Iran. But listen to what this article says, because this is what got my attention about the article. I hadn't heard anyone else say what I said, but a 5.1 magnitude earthquake struck Iran alarmingly close to the country's Fort Isle nuclear enrichment facility in the Qom province, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The earthquake struck at a depth of 6.2 miles, according to the survey. And again, it may prove that it's not nuclear, because I don't know that you could even go that deep for a nuclear weapon. But either way, it was reported. I'm not sure how they do those tests.
Yeah.
But it was reported at approximately 9:19 local time. The tremors from the quake were reportedly felt in the country's capital. Semnan, the city listed as the epicenter of the quake, is located about 145 miles east of the capital. The shaking of the quake was considered light and no damage reported. A message in public telegram, the public telegram board run by the Iranian blogger claims the earthquake was caused by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as they were testing something. Now, again, they lie, they make stuff up, and I don't know that you go 6 miles down to test something anyway. So, I'm not saying this is what it was. I just found the article interesting because of that.
Yes, those claims
have yet to be verified. Iranian media outlets haven't referenced any tests, although they did acknowledge the quake and reported it at slightly higher magnitude on the Richter scale. Some even reported it as high as 5.5. So here's the bottom line. Was it a warning from God? Was there some kind of weird thing going on? We don't know. I just found it very interesting. And it's, you know, just again, I don't think we have to be worried, but it's just interesting. It's one of those things I'm kind of like, okay, I think there's just, you see a lot of earthquakes in Iran, and probably what this was, if I had to really just say what my gut feeling is, it was just an earthquake, maybe even a warning from God.
I was going to say, the timing is not coincidental.
Yeah, to Iran saying, you know what, you're done. And now we're going to, kind of like the writing on the wall, the hand that wrote there in Iran, you know, tickle, tickle, many tickle your farce.
You've been weighed in the scales and found wanting.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, they took care of it and kind of dealt with them. And so, you know, we'll see. Maybe that's the deal that happened. And so also, Greg, just so you know, as we work toward in the last article, there is something, again, that just happened today. And on Fox News, it popped up. I want to mention if we have time as well. But let's move on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll head into our last article.
Yes. Hello. I think we have time for both.
Oh, we do. Is there anybody yes. there? Well, we'll find out. This is from BBC.com, dated May 7th. Experiments to, quote-unquote, dim the sun are one step closer in the United Kingdom.
Unbelievable. I will want to turn this around and say, again, this experiment here is really more just, again, a sign of the dim.
Or the dumb.
Yeah, that's my point.
Dumb I should have probably sun.
Used it. Yeah, I was saying kind of the same thing, but using their words. Whenever you start messing with God has created the earth with such a perfect balance.
Yes.
Of nature, insects, atmosphere. When you start messing with God's creation, you're going to cause a huge problem. I'm glad that God is restraining these crazy people, because we make up our mind that the earth is getting hotter and we've got to take some kind of action to protect it, like God doesn't protect his own earth. Guys, listen, regardless of whether or not any of the climate stuff is accurate or not, I'm not going to get an argument about that. I'm going to simply make a statement. God says he's the one holding all things together in the earth. He's the one that's going to protect us as far as temperature and our living environment. It doesn't mean we don't use wisdom and be the best stewards we can. But when we start trying to mess with the earth's temperature because we think God can't do it, number one, that's arrogant. That's blasphemy and insulting to God to think that now we've got to step up and help him. But this right here is so very dangerous. You know, and that the UK is doing this, I would just say, look, you know, go with your sage Paul McCartney and let it be. Leave it alone. The Advanced Research and Innovation Agency, the government-backed body, is funding nearly, 60 million pounds that could allow real-world experiments, including in the UK, as a part of the Exploring Climate Cooling Program, projects in solar radiation modification, SRM or I am dumb. It will involve trying to thicken Arctic sea ice and make clouds more reflective. But critics have real concerns about the impact of I am dumb on weather patterns and our health, and our health, seeing it as a distraction to drastic decarbonization. And it says, what are the concerns? Greg, listen to the concerns. Studies have shown that the SRM could cause strong warming high, above the tropics, changing large-scale weather patterns, warming the polar regions, in other words, creating what you're trying to stop, and altering rainfall patterns around the world, which means killing everybody, causing famines. This is the craziest thing. For example, it goes on, it's been shown that the brightening cloud off the coast of Namibia in Southwest Africa could induce drought over South America, affecting the Amazon rainforest, often referred to as the lungs of the planet. In other words, we're saying we're going to give the planet lung cancer by trying to stop the reflection of something we don't know anything we're talking about. God is the one controlling all things. It is the epitome of arrogance for us to try to change the climate. And no matter what we do with any of these climate change things, Greg, they said no matter what we do, if everybody drove the car they wanted us to and wore the shoes they wanted and the shirts and breathed the way they wanted, it's something like 0.02 difference it would make in the world's atmosphere. We can't change it. They admit that by their own science. But what they can do, if they do some of this reflective stuff, they could ruin the planet. I'm glad God's not going to let them, because I know that God's in control. It's like a bunch of fish in the aquarium, and they're going to take over and do something in the aquarium that's going to kill all the rest of the fish, because we don't trust the guy who bought the aquarium. We don't trust the guy who's running the aquarium. He's smarter. He's the one that put it together. He's the one that feeds us. He keeps the water clean. But we know better down here. We're deciding we're worried in this tank. What if something goes wrong? And so now we're going to change it. We're all going to die. We're going to kill ourselves.
You know, when the Bible talks about foolishness, and we understand foolishness to be at the apex of ignorance and arrogance, when those two things intersect, you find foolishness, and we say, give me an example, there's your example.
Unbelievable example. I mean,
that is foolishness.
You're not kidding. How could you be more foolish than that? I look at this, and I think, well, even the guys that want to do it, Greg, are saying, you know what, if we do this, it may kill us all, but let's try it anyway.
Let's try it anyway.
I think their logic is, if there is any logic, I think what they're trying to say is, well, look, if we don't do something, we're all going to die, so we have to give it a shot. But what this is what happens to mankind when they don't believe in God.
Yep.
When you don't believe in a supreme being, in God Almighty, who promised in Colossians he's holding all things together by his power and glory. If you don't believe in that, you start messing with things you shouldn't be messing with, and you're going to make things way worse. Again, now you see, I brought it up earlier. I'll bring it up again. This is why the Bible says if God didn't intervene, all mankind would destroy themselves.
Yep, you're right.
Now, one last thing I want to mention, and then I want to, again, share the gospel with those that may be listening before we run out of time. But again, this coming across the wire, you probably heard about it. Again, when the president's been trying to deport the illegals, you have all these district judges that keep stopping it. Well, the Supreme Court today voted that they can't do that. The president is free to do what he's able to do. There's some certain stipulations. So, again, why do I bring that up? Again, you think, well, what does that have to do with prophetically? Notice this. The Bible says in the last days, tensions are going to rise higher and higher. The more success President Trump has in doing these things that he's wanting to do, the more tensions you're going to see rise between the different groups and where they stand. And this is another sign of the times. You know, somebody wrote some comment the other day, said, we don't need to be trying to give biblical timelines. I would agree with that. We don't need to be trying to give biblical timelines because only God knows the time. But we should be able to recognize the signs of the times. And this kind of stuff is a sign of the times, creating tensions, increasing tensions in the last days. As a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked his generation for not noticing the signs of the times. He said, you can notice the weather, whether it's going to rain or not, when the sky's red or the clouds, you notice that. He said, but you do not know the signs of the times. He rebuked them. Look, we should know the signs of the times. No, we don't know timelines, but we better know the signs of the times. And I believe these kind of things, Greg, are creating more tension in the last days.
Well, I would tend to, whoever said that to you, I would tend to disagree with that, because the Bible does give us an overall timeline of prophetic events.
It
does. There's certain things that we don't know about, but the things that we do, and the Bible confirms that,
yes.
Scripture interprets Scripture,
yes.
Then we are charged with the gospel to share, with the entire Word of God, to share those things with everyone.
Well, let me back and say, Greg, yes, the way you're approaching it, yes, that timeline is definitely biblical.
Yes.
And I'm glad you said that, because I may have had to correct it next week. What I'm talking about is, no one knows the day or the hour.
That part,
that's,
yes.
When I say timeline, yes. That's what I'm referring
okay,
to.
Gotcha.
But as far as what you just said, absolutely. The Bible lays out a timeline that goes all the way through to the very end.
Yep.
We just don't know when on that timeline the things are going to happen.
Right.
So a great point. But you know what? Because we don't know, we need to be ready. And the question I would leave you with today, are you ready? And you say, well, how can I be ready? If you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that you'd be in the kingdom of God? I say, well, how can we know that? Because the Bible says that all of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and none of us will go to heaven without having our sins paid for. The Bible says God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, a perfect man except a God-man, to come and to pay for our sins. That's why he came and went to the cross. He came to live a perfect life with perfect blood, to die on the cross. God takes the payment of his blood sacrifice to cover and pay for everyone else's sins, And if you confess your sins and then repent of your sins and tell the Lord you believe that he died for you on the cross, the Bible, from your heart, the Bible says you will be born again. You will be saved. And if you've not done that, I want to encourage you right now, before you even finish this program, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, receive Jesus, because we don't know the day and the hour he's coming back, but he has given us a timeline to let us know he is coming back, and we're right in line with that time. So again, turn your life over to the Lord, receive him as Lord and Savior right now. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll be born again, and your place in the kingdom of heaven is now reserved forever, and you're with us as a part of the family of God.
Amen. The best place to be is in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Folks, thanks for listening or watching. Don't forget our website, thewaymedia.net, where you can get more things than just Signs of the Times. Check it out. Be enriched, be encouraged, and be encouraged to get into church this weekend and back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.